1 Samuel 16. Well, good to see everybody here. We started out singing Saved by Grace. And then when you're saved by grace, you get resolved. Amen. To please the one that saved you. If that's not in your heart, I don't know what you got. Desire to please him and to honor him and glorify him. And then she got to sing about home. There's an old man, he lived to be about 90 years old, and he had been rough as a cob, and his boy Keith got saved first, and then his son Tony got saved after that, and I'd go witness to him, and I'd say, Bill, what do you need? He said, I want what Keith and Tony's got. Well, he kept coming to church. I'd say, God, deal with that man. But he never would move. And I'd go see him, and he'd cry about the whole time. He'd always say, preacher, I ain't got a home. I ain't got a home. I knew what he meant. He didn't have a heavenly home. He'd always say that. I mean, saddened, tears, I don't have a home. But we'd prayed for him, and I said, now, Lord, if you don't save this old man, it's going to do something to our church. We've so prayed for him. It's going to do something for his boys of his, which they're older than me. But it's going to do something to them. And God, we need you to save him. Well, I heard he was in bad, bad shape. And man, I felt so burdened to go see him one morning. And I went over there, and man, he was lit up like a Christmas tree. I said, Bill, what's going on? He said, preacher, I got a home. He is such a proud man that I guess he, that's what he said. He had to, him and God got hooked up. And that old man, his oldest boy, went over there. I went to church on, we was having church in midweek then on Tuesday night. And I said, God's done something for Bill. Man, he's got the peace on his face. His boy went over there the next day with his boy and went in there, and old Bill, for the first time in Keith's life, and he is over 60 years old, told him he loved him. Yeah. Man, they got the praising God in that room for what God did for old Bill. Well, last week, God saved his granddaughter and her husband in the meeting we was having. And I said, next day I said, Gerald, how is it? Best day preacher of my life. Next day come in, I said, Gerald, how is it? It's the best week of my life. Amen, boy. Now they fired up. They eating Facebook up with what God did for them. And got four little old girls, and just that gives them girls hope. Amen. Those one about like 12 or 13. But it changes everything when mom and daddy get saved. It gives the children a hope they didn't have before. And what an honor to have a parent that doesn't just tell you about Jesus, but shows you Jesus. Amen. A lot of people's heard a lot of words. They need to see it in us and on us. Boy, that's a powerful thing. Brother Mike, I was thinking down there, you know, you get to the last night of the meeting, as far as I'm concerned, it seems like I've only been here two nights. Y'all get that after. But the Lord's good. Pray for me. I'll be up at Sparta the rest of the week. Pray God will bless up there. His will be done. And the mercy of God. Be honest. Well, I'm glad to see Brother Gary's here. Brandon's here. I was thinking about you, Pastor, today. And I was thinking of Brandon. Both of you got wives that love you and love God. You've got children that love you and respect you. You got a good church to pastor and people that love you. You two are about the wealthiest men I know. Oh, yeah. That's real riches right there. There's a lot of these multi-billionaires that give all their money if they had a wife that loved them and respected them and children that respected them. The greatest things in life money can't buy. Oh, the greatest things in life's eternal. Praise God, we need to be living for the other side. Hallelujah, and praise his name. Okay, 1 Samuel and 16, Let me just say this right quick. You know, things are not always they appear, and we get awful discouraged at times, and I want to preach tonight when it's time to move on. It's time to move on. And there's such disappointments in the Christian life. There's such disappointments in serving God. There's so many disappointments in pastoring. And we get disappointed at ourselves. We get disappointed at our church people. And we get disappointed with lost people. We can't do nothing with them. And there's so many things in life we so thought was going to manifest to the glory of God. And we're disappointed again. Well, in the Old Testament, God started out with a tabernacle. That's about the ugliest thing you ever seen in your life. Covered with badger skins. But if you ever got on the inside, it's the prettiest thing you ever seen. The beauty of Christ was on the inside. The next time he comes, it's going to be the outside too. Amen. And he's going to give us a glorified body. That's when God makes you beautiful for him. You're going to get totally saved at the resurrection. You ain't got there yet. You're saved from the penalty of sin. Your soul can still sin. Your body can still sin. Your mind, will, and emotions, you still got that depravity. But one day, your soul and body will catch up with that perfected spirit that God put in you and will be in a place and equipped. Not just where we can't sin, we'll never even be tempted. Thank God the devil is going to be in hell. All those followed him in his rebellion. I get excited at that. Boy, I'm glad for justice. Hell is a necessity. Thank God for justice. Thank God one day all the lies are going to be uncovered. All the wrongs are going to be made right. Thank God all this mess going on in America, one thing that upsets us, there seems to be two systems of justice. We've had a coup to overthrow the President of the United States. Ain't nobody in jail yet. Two men of his do a process crime and they send SWAT teams of 30 men in the morning to arrest them like they're a bunch of Al Capones. Hey! Two sets of justice, but one day, God's going to set this thing right. Boy, don't it bother you when you see these bunch of anarchists and communists as they march the streets and bust the windows and steal stuff? I say, my God, where's the justice? That bunch ought not to only go to jail. They ought to have to work and pay back fourfold everything they stole. That's stop that stuff. We need a whole less of psychiatry. We need a whole lot more of Bible in the court systems. Well, anyhow, so the tabernacle wasn't that glorious on the outside, but man, that next thing coming up, buddy, Solomon's temple. Why, David gave about $50 million of his own money to build it, let alone all the millions that the children of Israel gave. Well, that thing is billions of dollars in today's currency. One of the seven wonders of the world. It was so mighty that when those children of Israel, some of them still living, went to Babylon because of their sin of not letting the land have its Sabbath rest ever 7 years and being full of idolatry. When they got back, Zerubbabel laid the foundation of the temple. When that went up, the old men wept while the young men shouted. You know what? It's time to tell the old men, it's time to move on. Solomon's temple's gone and it ain't coming back. But what God's going to give them in its humility, there was nothing impressive about Zerubbabel's temple except one thing. The book of Haggai said, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what made Zerubbabel's temple better than Solomon's temple because Jesus Christ, our Lord, walked in it. Hey, it might not be as impressive as it was years ago, but if the Lord is in our midst, it's glorious. I can't go back and live in the past. That's water under the bridge. I can gain strength from it. I can gain encouragement from it. Listen, some of y'all need to get over what happened 40 years ago and believe God, God do something now. Hey, 40 years ago won't save my children or grandchildren. We need something now. Amen. I thank God for the past. If it weren't for the past, I wouldn't be here. I thank God when my children were born, but I sure don't want them to be babies all their life. I want them to grow up. Hey, let's get involved with living a life, having a prayer life that the presence and power of God rest on us. Because these kids, we talk about Percy Ray, them old men of God, B.R. Lincoln, they need somebody to talk about. They need some heroes. Amen. What God's telling Samuel in 1 Samuel 16. Samuel, though you don't think it, I got something better for Israel than Saul. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Well, Samuel's got no idea that David's going to be the choice. Matter of fact, when he got there, David was so out of the minds and the realm of possibility that he's still out on the hillside taking care of sheep. And you know the story, old Samuel went through the sons of Jesse. He sees the oldest son and he said, man, he's a big stature. He's impressive on the outside. God said, move on. That's exactly how Israel got in trouble, through the cult of Saul. Worshiping a personality. Being impressed with somebody's flesh instead of their heart. God said, I found me a man after mine own heart. I'll tell you, Saul was man's choice. He was what man wanted, and God gave Israel exactly what they wanted. If they had waited on God, he had David in the wing already going to raise him up to be king. They wouldn't have had to suffer those 40 years of disaster under King Saul if they'd have waited on God's choice. God's got a shepherd boy down there that's killed the lion and the bear, knows how to play a harp, knows how to worship God, has seen the power of God, has been out there along with God under the stars at night, and he knows the mind and the will of God. There's more to David at 15 years old than Saul at 40. Amen. What did God say? God says, I don't look on things like man does. That's what people's doing today. They're going all of this glamour. Everything glitters ain't gold. And they forgot about the little humble people of God and the humble servant of God in the pulpit and the humble people of God living a life of holiness and grace before God. And they want a newfangled thing. I'll tell you one thing. I want what God's proven. I want what God's put his hand on. That's one reason I love this King James Bible, because God's put his approval on it. Isn't that wonderful? You know what God told? It killed Samuel. You know why? Samuel so loved Saul. You ever had somebody in your family or a pastor that went bad or a preacher friend that turned their back on you or someone disappointed you that served God? You had such hope in them. You had such a commitment to them. God showed you warning flags time and time again, but you loved them so much, you ignored the warning signs. That's Samuel. As great a man as Samuel was, that's him. Flesh is flesh. I'll tell you, God told Samuel, go down and give Saul the news. The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. What Saul should have done, he should have repented and said, God ought to kill me and all of my family. I'll gladly step down and take my place where God can have mercy on me and do what's best for the kingdom of Israel. But he's such a narcissist. He's so full of self. He's so full of pride. He's so full of self-honor and glory. Israel be damned. He's not obeying God. He's going to be a thorn in the flesh of Israel and the flesh of David till he dies. Hey, you can't curse what God's blessed, and you can't bless what God's cursed. When God cursed Saul, it's over. That's great. Listen, when God lists the greatest prayers in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, he mentioned Noah, Daniel, and Samuel. And as great as Samuel's prayer life was, when God pulled off of Saul and sent an evil spirit, allowed a demon to torment him, even Samuel himself could not change God's mind about Saul. Now notice this. It never seemed to occur to Saul that it was never about him, and it never is. It's never about the leader. It's never about these cult figures in fundamentalism. Never has been and never will be. It's about God's glory and it's about God's people. God raises up men that are mighty men to be an instrument in the hand of God to deliver the word of God in power and live a life of an example so they point their children to that man and say, there goes the man of God. Hey, God can't use people he can't trust. You got to be trustworthy. Amen. I tell you what, God's looking for integrity. God's looking for character. God's looking for some men that can keep their zipper up and love their wives. God's looking for some wives that love God more than anything in this world. Amen. Saul was rejected and David was chosen. David wasn't just chosen to be the king of Israel. Hallelujah. He was chosen to be the royal, that his descendants would be the royal bloodline to Christ. God made a covenant with him. I ain't got time to preach this. I used to preach a sermon years ago on for David's sake. We know David's a type of Christ. How many times, you look it up, God said over and over when he almost wiped out Judah, he said, I promised David to have a light in Judah and I will not wipe them out for David's sake. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you, it pays to have a heart for God. I mean, just be overwhelmed by who he is. Notice the rejection of Saul is so overwhelming. It is so disappointing. Samuel had invested so much in this man. Saul probably at this time, he's probably about 80 years old when he dies. He's probably been king for 30 years. So he probably became king at about 40 years of age. He's probably 60, 70 years old here. He chased David like a dog or a partridge for 13 years and tried to kill him. Notice, and the Lord said to Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil. Go, I'll send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I've provided me a king among his sons. Now, I preached one time, a three-part series on what it cost David to kill Goliath. That's the best day and the worst day of his life. Hey, that's what put him before all of Israel. But when God exalts a man, most people are jealous of him. Oh, King Saul, I wasn't even. Listen, he sent David out to do what he should have done. Here's what Samuel, God said to Samuel, there's no need to mourn for him. I give him chance after chance after chance. My mind's made up. The kingdom of Israel will not cease. I'll not be defeated. Hey, Samuel, there's more men in the world than Saul. And I got one better than he ever was. Fill thine horn with oil. So Samuel is at Ramah. I mean, this guy's got it together. He's a priest and he's a prophet. And he anointed the first two kings of Israel. And he started the school of the prophets. It went all the way up to Elisha's day. And anyhow, so God used Samuel in a great and a mighty way. I'm sure God said, Samuel, if you'd asked me for any other thing, I might could do it, but not this. Not this. I can't do it. I've already rejected him. Well, why didn't God move Saul off the scene? I'll tell you why. Because Saul is the sandpaper that's going to polish David. David could have never been what he became without the solitude of that wilderness when he's a teenage boy watching the sheep. And without having to run from Saul and watch God provide food for 600 men and their wives and their children in the wilderness, he learned how to trust God, hear from God, and fight the battles of the Lord. Life's full of disappointments. Things we look forward to rarely ever match our expectations. Why? Because we're dealing with humanity and we're imperfect. That's why. And some way or other, it seems like things almost always come up short. And I'll tell you another thing. When we face situations, I could preach here a while, but I'm not. We face situations that our expectations were so high and they fail. That doesn't mean it's a failure permanent. That means just maybe for right now. God may be like Saul or to Samuel. Samuel, the best is yet to come. I got something better than Samuel. And in your life, when the devil's done his best and man's done his best to wipe you out, hey, what God might be telling you, if you'll stay faithful to me, the best is down the road. God will be indebted to no man. Amen. But you know something else? Usually the things we dread the most are not as bad as we thought. A lot of times you go through surgery, you'd just about rather take a gun to your head and do it. Then you do it and you say, man, this wasn't as bad as I thought. Amen. Some things in life, not as bad as you thought. Some things in life may not be as good as you thought. I'll tell you one thing, I've been disappointed in me. I've been disappointed in people, but I've never been disappointed in God or Jesus Christ. When we get there, we'll cry out, praise God. The half was never told me. This is greater than I ever even imagined. Amen. Heaven will compensate and make amends for all your disappointments. You know what the Lord said? He said the worst. I mean, this is Paul talking here. That man went, I mean, you talk about Briar College? Well, he got beaten, slammed and whooped and imprisoned and, I mean, shipwrecked, beaten with rods and whips. I mean, that's what his body's so frail. You know what Paul wrote? He said the worst we've gone through is a light affliction. And that light affliction is redounding to such a greater weight of glory that when you get there, you would to God you'd suffered more here because how God's going to make amends on the other side. Amen. Never been disappointed in the Lord. Amen. Praise his holy name. You know what sometimes, listen, I want to encourage y'all tonight. You know what some of you young preachers or some of you men may be in your 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s. Up around Brandon's age. Amen. That is funny. Anyhow, you say, preacher, always wish I could have done more. If you don't say that, there's something wrong with you. We all say that. Boy, I'd like to have been born Whitfield's day. Don't you know God knows that? I wish I'd been born in Spurgeon's day. The Lord knows that. What preacher doesn't want to be successful in the right way? We want to bring glory and honor to God. There's nothing that thrills God more than saving sinners and manifesting His grace to fallen humanity, and we love seeing that. Boy, we'd love to have been a blessing to more Christians. But we're not born in Whitfield's day. This is apples and oranges. We're born in the last days. We're born in the great falling away. We're born in the apostasy. Brother Mike, you take the number of people that's here tonight in this revival meeting. It'd be rare you even find this many people in revival meeting service anymore. Well, we're in the days of the great apostasy. And this culture we're living in. I'll tell you what God's going to reward you for. Not what you did, but what was really in your heart to do for His glory. You want me to prove that? David wanted to build the temple. God told him, Nathan went down there, David said, I want to build this temple for the glory of God. How dare me live in a house of cedars and God stuck in a tent? He said, it's a disgrace to the world. God needs the best house. Nathan said, hallelujah, get at it, son. Best news I heard all day. God told him that night, said he can't do it. Can't do it. Now, David's a warrior. He's got blood on his hands. The temple, listen to me now. David is a picture of conquest, killing the enemy. The temple cannot be built by a man that's a symbol of conquest. It's got to be built by a man of peace. Solomon's name is peace. It had to be built by the right man because it's going to symbolize a millennial kingdom. That's why in Solomon's day, dear people, silver was as available. They throwed it out on the streets like we would gravels today. That's how much wealth they had. That's right. He had that gold of Orpha, the best gold's ever been. I mean, so filthy rich. But you know what God told Nathan? He said, you go in there and encourage my man. You tell him, David. David, it's so good that it was in your heart. God said, I'm glad it was in your heart. And God's going to reward David as if he built it because it was in his heart to glorify God. I believe every word of that. And that's really not Solomon's temple. That's David's temple. David got the blueprint. David gathered almost all the materials. David brought Israel to peace so Solomon could reign 40 years in peace. I mean, God used David, but God will reward David as if he was the one that laid the block because it was in his heart. Not to get a name for himself, but a name for the glory of God. That ought to encourage you. God's not just going to reward you for what you did, but what you could have done if you would have lived in better circumstances. I believe that. And if you stay faithful in this day, you might be rewarded more than a lot of those men back then because they didn't face the demons and devils we do. Amen. Boy, Christ surpasses all excellency. His never not dying love and goodness. I mean, 1 second in His presence. I mean, the fullness of His presence. It's going to be worth it all. Jesus Christ makes all the difference. Now, I got about 3 sermons here, so I'm going to cut them down to 2.5. No, I'm kidding you. Samuel is weeping. That's right. That's what you're supposed to do. You know what David said when they killed Saul? Tell it, Mountain Gath. The king has fallen. Don't tell it before the enemies. When a preacher falls, don't go tell it before everybody in the world. You ought to be heartbroken. Grieved at the name of Jesus being hurt before the lost. Even people that aren't God's men that do represent him to the world. It's a horrifying thing when men fall. Especially some of these guys on TV that's got the hundreds of millions and billions of people that know them and have heard of them. It does such damage. What I'm trying to say is, hey, it's right when somebody has so missed God that God has rejected them. It is a godly thing to mourn. But there's a time you quit mourning. God ain't out of business. It's like this. How many times have we mourned because we were so hopeful that people really got converted? And we were so excited. And then you watch them a while. And then you watch them for years. And you come to the conclusion, they just hardly no way they got saved by the grace of God. And it's disappointing. It's disappointing. Some of you raised your children right. You did, you ain't, none of us have done all we could, but you made a real effort to have them under the gospel. Some of y'all paid a lot of money, put them in schools, Christian schools, or homes. You put a lot of effort, and your children turned out right, and they've not turned out right. Hey, that's not your fault. They got a will. They got a choice. Just beg God for mercy. And if you made a real effort to raise them right, you got all power with God to expect him to do something for them before they die. Amen. How many times have we seen things that we thought, boy, here's a meeting we've had. God's a moving. This thing's finally going to get going. And the devil comes back like a fury, knocks the wind out of you. I'm telling you, there's disappointments in the Christian life. But you got to go on. If I lose ground I've gained before, God help me to get up and regain it again. Notice the object of Samuel's disappointment. He is so hopeful. In Saul, I got to hurry here. He had the stature. There's never been a man. You don't talk about potential. Number one draft choice in every area. He had such potential. He had the looks. He had the height. He's head and shoulders higher than any man in Israel. He's about 6'8". Those Jews were always little people. That's why God got such glory out of them winning all them battles, because everybody they fought was bigger than them. Well, them Philistines like giants. Some of them were. And there's that little old Jew whooping everybody. But Saul, head and shoulders. Man, that's a big man. He was so impressive. He had all that strength, all that potential, all that stature and ability. There's such great hope in Saul. And the people were so excited. But in the midst of all that, you know what they done to get Saul? Boy, here's graciousness, people. They rejected Samuel to get Saul. And God made Samuel anoint him. And one Samuel is worth more than 1,000 Sauls. And one Abraham's worth more than 1,000 Lots. And one Samuel's worth more than all Peninnah's crowd put together 100,000 times. Listen to me now. Samuel is such an humble man. God said, now, Samuel, don't get upset. I know you're upset, but they've not rejected you. They got the utmost respect for you. You know, God let Samuel defend himself over there in 1 Samuel, on our 7, 8, 9. I mean, God used Samuel. Man, God give them great deliverance of the fleet. You know all that stuff Samuel did. Mighty man, feared by all of Israel. And they, listen to me, preachers. They rejected the greatest man on earth. I think they might reject you too. That's right. You know why? Because they want something carnal. They want to get contemporary and modern. And you're a dinosaur. And you're too hard-headed to change. And they know that. You might as well, Katie, bar the door. Samuel ain't changing. So, Samuel, in such grace, said, Lord, if they've rejected you, would you please still have mercy on them? And old Samuel stood up, one of the greatest verses on prayer has ever been. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. James Crumpton preached the mightiest sermon on that right there. Like Elijah and Elisha, spiritually speaking, Samuel was a chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. But when old Elijah went to heaven, old Elisha cried out, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. That means that Elijah was greater for the defense of Israel than all their armies. The same thing I said about Elisha, you could say it about Samuel. Samuel's holiness, his prayers, his example was Israel's defense. He had the heritage. He had been proven. He had been tested. He had been tried. He had been disappointed in Eli. He had been disappointed in Eli's sons. He had stood when it would have been easy to fall. And he stood for God and stood for righteousness. And now the people want a king. I'm talking about when Samuel yielded to the will of God. It took a lot of denial of self and devotion to God and dedication and love to Israel. You know what Samuel said? God, your cause and Israel's advancement means more than me being offended. It was time to move on. They had, Brother Mike, they had no idea the national treasure that Samuel was. See, a real God-called man knows, take like Brother Noah Fry. Can you imagine the battles that old man's fought? We just shouldn't respect him. He's earned respect. If he'd walk in this building and people treat him like he was some salesman, people treat him like he's just a common person, what all serving God's cost that old man and his wife and being faithful, it would be a great sin. Oh, what I'm trying to tell you tonight, oh, Samuel, they had no idea the treasure that they had in Samuel. Some of you moms and dads that walk with God, your own children ain't got a clue the treasure you are. That hurts. It hurts when you know what serving God's cost you and people act like it's nothing. Amen. What was good about Saul? Temporary. Let me hurry up now. Saul's a picture of the nation of Israel in the wilderness. He done all right for about 2 years, and the next 38 years was nothing but ruin and wandering in the wilderness. The children of Israel did all right for about a year and a half, 2 years, and they got to Kadesh Barnea, and the rest of it is wandering and dying. Everything Saul ever done for God was the first 2 years. After that, he just lived for self. But Saul's hopes for, or Samuel's hopes for him was genuine. Oh, Samuel, notice, God give him such grace, he didn't take it personal. 2 Samuel 15:17, he refers to Saul's beginning, when thou wast little in thine own sight. Did you hear what the pastor said a while ago? Boy, my ears perked up when he said that. When he first started preaching, him and brother, which one of y'all, Brother Tim? Okay, you, brother. Y'all would run around, find the revivals, hear preaching. Wire yourself out praying, begging God, screaming like God can't hear you, you know, and all that stuff. You're so fired up. You know what? Anything God ever does with this man, the foundation was laid that first 10 years. He started preaching, and young men that don't go after God like that, as seeking God, won't never amount to nothing. That drive's got to be in a man. And God lets that man beg and pray. And for the rest of his life, God will bless him. For backing his pastor and humbling himself to other men and waiting for God to advance him while he's preparing for the harness when he gets in it. Amen. When thou wast little on thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Now, notice what old Saul had. And Saul said, hey, you got the wrong man. He's hid out in the baggage. And he said, I don't have the pedigree. I'm from Benjamin. We're the littlest tribe. I don't have any status. Sort of sounds like Gideon, the tribe of Manasseh, the littlest family. He's youngest son. Anyhow, he said, I don't have the pedigree, the status, the credibility, the ability. I'm not worthy. And Saul didn't think he could do it. You know what God did? He put that anointing to be king. That don't mean he was saved. Now, I wouldn't argue one way or the other because I've never made my mind up about that. Saul was anointed to be king. That means God gave him the wisdom of administration. God gave him the boldness to lead. That he gave him public authority. He could raise up an army. When them Ammonites, no Nahash come against him, had to pluck out the right eyes. That's so they couldn't aim their weapon and make them defenseless as far as being in the military. Oh, Saul had righteous indignation, and he rose up and gathered up an army and threatened to kill anybody that didn't show up to fight. And they come and they fought and they won. He had that credibility. God is the only one who can put that on man. Saul had it. Now, his start was chosen, anointed. He was supported by great men. God's choice was evident. He'd give them what they wanted, but he's having mercy in the midst of it. He had gifts. And he had, these men, listen to this. Saul also went to Gibeah. There went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Watch this now. The devil hates God's choice. And he hates more God's anointed. What did they do when they heard about Saul? All these men followed him whose hearts God had touched. And they, all of Israel came and brought gifts to Saul. And some of his men said, "We need to strike dead them damnable sons of Belial that wouldn't honor you and recognize you and give you proper recognition." Saul says, "This ain't a day of killing, this is a day of mercy." There's always going to be people that reject the anointing God put on you. I'll tell you something. You can do a whole, listen, there's sins of the flesh and sins of the spirit. If a man goes out here and gets drunk, now I don't advise you to do that, that's sin. But if you go out here and get drunk, that's not so hard to repent of. But if you get jealousy in you, that and pride, rebellion is a principle of Satan, and sins of the spirit are a whole lot harder to get rid of than sins of the flesh. The Pharisees didn't have sins of the flesh. They had sins of the spirit. These sons, you know what old Saul did? 1 Samuel 10:27, he held his peace. You know why? Because when he was young and humble and didn't think he could do it, he said, "I'm going to let God vindicate me." And we get so disappointed and say, "God, vindicate me Sunday." God said, "I will Sunday in 10 years. Right. Every man of God is rejected at first and he's hit out by God. That's a principle. And that man whom, them older people in church, "Why, who's he? I'll change his diaper when he's little." But you just let God do his work, because people can't see what God ain't showed them. And one day, God will exalt that man above the people, and they'll say, "Praise God. I can't believe little Junior, still wearing his bow tie, little Junior is the man of God." Well, if your name's Junior, I ain't picking on you. I would change my name, I believe. Problem child. The band of these men believed in him. They were loyal to him. They supported him. They followed him. Hey, if 100 don't like it, but 50 really do, shout over the 50. Hey, some men ain't got five that support them. 1 Samuel 11, the Ammonites. Now, I ain't got time to get through all that. We'd be here all night. So Saul, through the process of his life, let me get over here then. Through the process of his life, he gets full of pride. And he don't have to listen to God. He just does things off the cuff. He wings it. He loses his walk with God. He don't have to wait for Samuel to come and pray. He's gonna offer up his own sacrifice. He don't have to kill all the Amalekites. He's so valuable to God, he gets to sin. Don't you think that happened to David when he's 50 years old at Bathsheba? He's done so much for God, he gets to play with sin. That's pride, friend. And Saul missed it. You know why Saul missed it? Because his sin was not the sin of the flesh. I never read about Saul running with Bathsheba's. You ever thought about that? There's a lot more sin. Saul never numbered the people and 70,000 got killed. Saul probably didn't do as many fleshly sins as David, but Saul's sins were spiritual. They were the heart. They were pride and demonic jealousy and rebellion against God to his face. And God rejected him. Isn't it sad? Can you see why Samuel's so upset? I see its object, its offense. And Lord, why wilt thou mourn, seeing I have rejected him? You know what you got to do, dear people? You got to understand, flesh is flesh and God is God. And people might let you down, but our God's in charge. He's a God of providence. One man might miss it, but God's got somebody that won't. One woman might not be what she ought to be, but God's got somebody that will be. Look at this little lady playing this piano. She's good. I thought last night that what she is doing on that piano, I thought Kim Collinsworth was in here. I mean, she was tiring it up. Ain't that a blessing? Somebody young, give their talent to God? Hey, I don't believe she's going to do it. I don't even know her name. But if she fell tomorrow, that ain't putting God out of business. If your pastor fell tomorrow, and I don't think he ever would, that ain't, hey, we'd mourn, we'd grieve, we'd cry. God's work goes on. Get past what might have been, what could have been, what should have been. Hey, get past that. And do something now for the glory of God. I just want you to know, I got much utmost confidence in this pastor not to do what I just used him for an illustration for. I want to make sure you know that. I probably shouldn't have, I should have used myself. If I fall tomorrow, the work goes on. Not me going on. God is not going to be shut down. Job said in Job 23:14, he performed the thing that's appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Oh, Job said, when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. He said, I'm going to wait till my change comes. Genesis 49, God talks about this royalty of David and how the shallow is going to come through the tribe of Judah. God gives all these promises. Now notice the object, the offense, and then the outcome. I ain't got time to preach this stuff, but I'm about done. God said, I have provided me a king. Israel ain't picking this now. This is mine. I give them Saul because I knew what they wanted, and I warned them. Did Samuel forget, like Isaac and Rebekah, that God promised the younger would serve the elder? Has Samuel forgot what God said, what he prophesied Saul would do to Israel? So he's going to take your daughters, make confectioners and bakers. He's going to take your daughters, they're going to serve him. He's going to take your boys, they're going to serve in his army. He's going to tax you. He's going to lay the taxes, tax and spend. Yeah. He done told them what he's going to do. And they said, we want him anyhow. And they got their belly full of Saul quick. It's best to wait on God's choice. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Boy, what a blessing. You serve God long enough, you're going to do a lot of crying. You're going to have a lot. This might as well be transparent. You're going to get disappointed. That's why we got to keep our eyes on what this thing's about. And pastor, they sang that song, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You've never said anything greater than that. In spite of the fact that you were, that's why it's got to be by grace, because you're a sinner. And somebody falls and breaks your heart. Who was it? Was it George Whitefield? George Whitefield said he was robbed one time. And they asked Whitefield about it. And they said, what's your thoughts about God not intervening and keeping you from being robbed? He said, number one, I want to thank God that he didn't have more on me than I had, so he couldn't have took more. He said, number two, I want to thank God that he didn't hurt my health, just took it and went on. And he said a couple more, but this is one he said, and I want to thank God It was him stealing from me and not me stealing from him. Amen. When you get disappointed, you know how it feels. Be that much more encouraged to live right that you won't do that to other people. And if you get bitter at God, you'll end up hurting other people just like you've been hurt. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Sis, you come to the piano, will you? The answer to the disappointment of life is the anointing of God. Obedience. Moving on. You know what? If you change the D to H in that word disappointment, you know what you got? Disappointment becomes appointment. Amen. Amen. Boy, we need to get where God can get us past that baggage. It might be a former marriage. You just go down the line. Somewhere you got to go on. You got to live your life for the benefit of God and other people. God will give you the strength to do it. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, I'm nothing important except you called me. So you saving me and calling me makes me important as far as delivering your word. But God, there's other men that can do it better than me. But I pray there'll never be any that want to do it with more heart than me. I pray I'll give you my best. That's all you ask for. And God, I'd sure like to live in the 1700s or 1800s. I'd sure like to live in the early 1900s when men seen all them great moves of God. But Lord, you chose this hour for me, and you can do no wrong. So may I honor you, and these people honor you in these days. Lord, the people that's disappointed me the most in my ministry has been other preachers. Don't let me disappoint others. Don't let me be that to other people. Help me, God, to learn, and I'll praise you in Christ's name. And I'm a preacher of the gospel. These men in here, it's probably got nothing to do with them, but there's a lot of people watch this live stream. Maybe listen to this CD, I don't know. One of the great preachers, mentors, heroes of my life, I seen him get so bitter you couldn't get around. If he could have took us young preachers under his arm, what he could have done for us. But he'd been hurt. He'd been hurt. He lost his boy. Lost his boy. He never was the same. And anybody that God had his hand on become his enemy. It's the saddest thing I've ever seen. And I've said through the years, God, let me die before I get like that. Amen. Cry a while, there comes a day, it's time to move on. So, well, I didn't get that boy I wanted to marry. Well, there comes a time, maybe you'll shout. God knows 20 years from now. That's why you better trust God's wisdom. Who you marry, all these things. He knows 30 years from now. He knows that trap Satan's got set for you. I love you tonight. Brother Mike, it's been a joy being